Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a closer look at stories from our radio newsrooms across the nation. Today, On Deadline is breaking down a bombshell decision from President Joe Biden. He issued a full and unconditional pardon for his son, Hunter Biden. The president announced this decision on Sunday night after almost half a year of vowing that he wouldn't pardon his son and would let the justice system proceed as it saw fit. In the end, that's obviously not what he did. So, what happened exactly? Let's break it down. Hunter Biden has been at the crux of conspiracy theories floated by the family's political opponents. He's also the perpetrator of several actual crimes and a generator of endless speculative headlines. As his father issued the pardon, Hunter was less than 2 weeks out from sentencing for one of two criminal cases. On December 12th, Hunter was expected to be sentenced for his conviction on federal gun charges. Those charges included two counts of lying about his drug use on a federal background check, and one count of possessing a gun while addicted to or using illegal drugs. He was found guilty of all three charges by a jury in June 2024. He was also set to be sentenced December 16th for another criminal case in which he pleaded guilty to federal tax evasion. While Hunter received two guilty verdicts, there were claims that the charges were overblown and out of proportion to the crime of buying a gun while being a drug user. Still, Biden and the administration vowed that they would not issue a pardon for Hunter. Biden's wife, First Lady Jill Biden, even echoed that sentiment when asked about it this June. "Joe and I both respect the judicial system, and that's the bottom line," she said. Biden's White House press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, is on record numerous times saying that a pardon would not come for Hunter Biden. And as we all know, now it has. We'll go now to Odyssey's interview with KCBS political analyst Mark Sandilow, who discussed Biden's about-face.
Why do you think this is happening now? And why do you think he's going back on what his pledge?
I imagine it simply comes down to something that, you know, all of us can understand. Anybody who has kids, that, you know, family is more important than anything. And I think that, you know, most of us would sacrifice virtually anything for our children. That said, it makes sort of a joke of the idea that in America, no one is above the law. And that's been a statement which has been used against Donald Trump over and over again, that Donald Trump has tried to put himself above the law, that by winning his election, he's likely to, you know, exonerate himself, he's probably pardon himself, he's going to pardon the January 6th, insurrectionists. And it's outrageous, because in America, we know that no one is supposed to be above the law. But here is Joe Biden, who, you know, is as much as a family man as any president we've had, but also, you know, as much as a principled person in sticking up for the fact that the Justice Department does its job, and you may not like the results, but you abide by what the justice system and the Justice Department come up with. And in this case, he echoed a line that's very familiar to anybody who's read anything Donald Trump said. He said, well, in this case, and again, his son's crimes, these are not terribly serious. I mean, he lied on a form to obtain a gun about the fact that he was addicted to drugs, and he said he wasn't. And also in the middle of that addiction, he blew off his taxes. He since repaid the taxes, but he was late on his taxes. No other American goes to jail for this. That's what Biden's case is. So his kid, he says, is being persecuted and therefore prosecuted because of political reasons, and to correct that travesty of justice, he pardons him. That is exactly what Donald Trump has to say about the January 6th protesters. And, you know, you can disagree about the facts of all these cases, but at a certain point, you have to say we have a Justice Department that proceeds with fairness and you abide by the results. Joe Biden, just like Donald Trump now, is saying, well, not in all cases.
I'm kind of cynical. I think all around it's good to have friends in high places. What do you think would have happened to Hunter under the next administration?
I can't imagine that. Who knows what the sentence is? He's awaiting sentence on the filling out the incorrect gun charge, and he was about to face charges in Southern California on the tax charges coming up, in the next couple of weeks. Whether he would have actually gone to jail, I don't know. There was concern that, you know, that Trump would have sort of had it out for him and would have made sure that it was a tough sentence. First, it's not clear that Trump has the power to influence a judge like that. And it's also a case, you know, Donald Trump, he carries this enormous chip of people beating up on him and self-inflicted. But once they are gone, I mean, remember, he vowed to put Hillary Clinton in jail when she was hurt, when she was running against her. After he beat her, he didn't care anymore. This is just something he says on the campaign trail. I have no idea whether or not Donald Trump is actually going to go after people like, you know, Joe and Hunter Biden, because there's talk about him now prosecuting them for all sorts of other things of which there is no evidence. But this blanket immunity, boy, this makes it very, very tough for them to go after the president's son. And you almost wonder whether the president's not going to pardon preemptively himself to make sure that Trump doesn't come after him.
In his announcement about the pardon, Biden said this: "No reasonable person who looks at the facts of Hunter's cases can reach any other conclusion than Hunter was singled out only because he's my son. And that's wrong." Trump has even compared cases against himself and his supporters with Hunter Biden directly when asked on social media if Biden would pardon the January 6th insurrectionists along with his son. Know, though, that it's slippery to try to compare Trump's wide-ranging legal troubles to Hunter Biden's. As a refresher, Trump was found liable of sexually assaulting and then defaming author E. Jean Carroll in two civil cases he fought on the campaign trail. He's been convicted of tax fraud and falsifying business records to cover up paying a sex worker. Finally, Trump is also facing RICO charges in Georgia for allegedly attempting to overturn a Democratic election while he was president of the United States. As for Hunter, his father may be president, but he's a private citizen. He's never been elected to office, and he's been accused of buying a gun while on drugs and then lying about it. He also failed to pay $1.4 million in taxes between 2016 and 2019. While the cases involving Hunter Biden and Donald Trump are pretty different, CNN pointed out that the underpinnings of both arguments are similar. Both Joe Biden and Trump are basically saying the justice system itself is politicized and corrupted. Political analyst Steve Roberts joined Odyssey to share more.
Joe Biden pardoning his son, Hunter, just 49 days left in his presidency, and about face to what he said he would not do previously. What do you make of what we saw?
A couple of things. One is, look, we know that Joe Biden has always been very deeply loyal to his family. The dynamics there are very painful and sad. He lost his other son, Beau Biden, to brain cancer some years ago, and he's been deeply devoted to Hunter, who by all accounts, has fought through his deep addictions and has been sober now for 5 years. That's the plus side. The minus side is that Joe Biden can also be very stubborn and very selfish. And we saw that in his decision, his fatal decision, to run for re-election when he was clearly physically and mentally not capable of running a campaign, let alone being president for 4 years. So there is that side of family loyalty. There is that side of sort of stubbornness and even selfishness. And they came together in this decision. And as you say, even though he must have said 100 times he'd never do it, there was always that possibility. A president has that power. And in some ways, I think he was liberated to use that power by the loss of the Democrats. I think it would have been harder for him to do it if the Democrats had won. But now that they lost, now that he's heading into political obscurity and exile, he's going to use that power one last time.
Many found the decision shocking because he had said only months ago that he was not going to do this. Hunter Biden was looking at serious jail time. Did Biden put family over country?
I'm not sure he put it over country. I think he put family over his own reputation. Now, I think in some ways this will be one of the, this will be a negative on his legacy. But he decided that, to hell with it, to hell with everybody. And as I say, we know that he can be very, very stubborn. Look, there was absolutely no doubt a year ago that he was not capable of running a campaign, not capable of serving a second term. And yet he stubbornly insisted he was the one person who could beat Donald Trump. So if you look at the below the surface here, at the core personality of Joe Biden, this is not a surprise.
The move, though, I guess shouldn't be terribly, I mean, you just said not a surprise. I mean, shouldn't be terribly surprising considered past pardons from president. I mean, if the president had said before that he would not do this, I mean, that's really the only reason why people might have been taken aback by this, because it would have been almost standard practice to expect.
Well, yes. I mean, you know, look, he misled people. He was deceptive. There's no question about that. He misled them countless times. But it's also true, as you point out, there's a long record of presidents, including Donald Trump. Look, Donald Trump pardoned a whole raft of his political cronies. And he also did this for family. He pardoned a man named Charles Kushner. Charles Kushner was Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, Ivanka's husband. He pardoned Charles Kushner. Kushner had served 2 years in federal penitentiary. There wasn't any question that he was guilty of all the crimes he was convicted of. Not only did Trump pardon him, he just named him ambassador to France this week, a man who was a convicted felon who served 2 years in a federal penitentiary. So it's not as if Joe Biden's the only president who's ever used or misused his pardon power. And it's one of those powers that has no check and balance except public opinion. The Constitution is very clear that a president can do whatever the heck he wants when it comes to pardons. And Trump did it. And Biden did it, and other presidents in the past have done it too. Bill Clinton went out of office under a certain cloud. Even to this day, his legacy has been clouded by the fact that he pardoned a man named Mark Rich, who was an international swindler and fraud. So people can use this power, but they can pay a price in terms of their reputation and legacy. And I do think Joe Biden will pay a price.
What is that price?
The price is that people will remember this as one of his last acts. And they'll remember it as an act of deception. They will remember it as an act that he said, "I over and over again, I won't do it." And then he did it. And it's pretty stark. It's pretty clear that he went back on his promise. He went back on his word. And that will always be part of his legacy. When Joe Biden's obituary is written, there will be a paragraph about his pardon of Hunter Biden as part of that.
Of course, presidential pardons are nothing new. Often, in the days leading up to a president's exit from office, they'll issue several pardons. Former President Barack Obama commuted 153 sentences and pardoned 78 during his final month in office in December 2016. In the days before President-elect Trump ended his first term in office in January 2021, he pardoned 71 people. So, while the act of presidential pardons is old hat, it is notable to see a president pardon his own son. For more on some presidential pardon history, David Schultz from Hamline University joined Odyssey.
First of all, your reaction to this and the context of this. He's been saying this all along that he's not going to do it, and now he did to his son. Can you give us some historical context to this?
Well, first off, for people who are going to say he can't do this, the Constitution gives the president broad authority to pardon and the way for federal offenses. And the way the Supreme Court has interpreted it is that the presidential capacity to pardon is just about and so from a constitutional perspective, he's done nothing wrong. The question becomes, from an ethical point of view or a political point of view, you know, how do we evaluate it? And sort of, again, two thoughts here. First is that it is not a surprise that after presidents are no longer going to be serving again, you know, after the last election, we've seen a history of lots of presidents pardoning friends, close confidants, a whole bunch of people. And this continues in the tradition of what we're finding here. And at the end of the day, I don't know. I mean, I think about this and think, I'm not as surprised that a father would pardon his son. I mean, take it out of a constitutional realm, put it into a personal realm. And I'm not saying whether, you know, this is, you know, from a political ethics point of view, but I'm not at all surprised that he's doing it, because as a parent, wouldn't he do anything possible to protect his child? I think it's what he did here.
Right, but he had said over and over again, and his people said over and over again, he wasn't going to do it. Then why did he do? Why did he say that initially? You know.
Well, I think he probably said that for political reasons. You know, I was going to say, newsflash, politicians don't always tell the truth or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, where I'm from, if you believe that, I got a bridge for you or something like that. You know, but I think he had to say that partly because didn't want to perhaps make this an issue during the presidential election. Remember, for a long time, he was thinking of running for election and re-election. And therefore, by saying I'm not going to pardon, he takes that out of the debate in terms of, you know, what issues that people could use against him. So I think, you know, is it hypocrisy? Yes, it is. It's complete hypocrisy, what he said politically. But again, on a human dimension, again, whether I agree with it or not, it's a different story entirely. From a human dimension, I can perfectly understand a parent doing whatever they can to protect their child.
Even supporters of Joe Biden have had to acknowledge that the pardon of his son shows a mistrust in the American system of justice, something he argued was uncorrupted during the many trials of Donald Trump. A CNN analyst reported that, taken together, Trump's convictions without a sentencing anywhere on the horizon and Biden's pardon raise questions about the very bedrock of the United States, the foundation we were all taught, the one that says all men are created equal, even presidents and their families, and have equal protection under the law. It also means that no Democratic leaders are going to be getting vertigo from the dizzying heights of their moral ground. Sure, Trump pardoned Charles Kushner, the father-in-law of his daughter Ivanka, and people in his inner circle, including longtime fixer Roger Stone and 2016 campaign chairman Paul Manafort. But Biden pardoned his son. As Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton wrote on X, Democrats can spare us the lectures about the rule of law. And it also definitely paves the way for Trump to potentially pardon supporters, including those who stormed the Capitol on January 6th. After all, the argument now goes, if Joe Biden doesn't trust that justice would be carried out against his own son, why should Americans believe that justice prevails for anyone? This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strouser, and by me. I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.